Welcome into the Patriots podcast. My name's Sean. His name's JJ.
No.
Dude, the season is starting.
2 days.
2 days from now.
2 days.
2017 NFL season begins with the Patriots at home hosting the Chiefs. We got a ton of shit to talk about right now.
Ton of shit.
There's been trades. There's been cuts. There's been all kinds of crazy nonsense. And then on top of all that, 2 days until opening night.
Right.
So we'll just get right into it here. The roster cuts. Last week, we had to go from 90 players down to 53.
Yeah.
Anything surprising?
Not really, but we did talk about, I thought it was funny, you know, when you said, oh, well, why'd they go from 90 to 75 and 75 to 53?
Yeah.
It just seemed like the way they did it now, it seemed like it was a lot less confusing, you know, to kind of get the ball rolling with a lot of that shit. I think like almost 40 people was a lot to do. But
yeah. I was just thinking about the How can you tell 37 players that they're cut within a 24-hour period? I mean, you got to be constantly breaking bad news.
And it's like your team. I mean, you just got to think of like from the standpoint of, you know, your team. Like, wow, like half our locker room just got emptied.
See ya.
Like, so yeah, we'll see how that works out. But I think it was a lot for such a quick. You know, like you said, 24 hours. But
it's a lot of decisions to make, but it's also most of those decisions were already made.
Right. Yeah, for the most part. A few guys maybe swayed one way or the other in that fourth game. For actual who we released, I mean, no one really caught me off guard. I mean, I guess Ted Karras, just because he made the team last year and he got beat out by an undrafted rookie, but I think my biggest takeaway is how many actual undrafted rookies made this team.
Yeah, what was it? Three?
It was more than that. Cole Crosston, he made it.
Yeah, and so did the
Jacob Hollister made it. Adam Butler, the D-end or D-tackle, made it. Harvey Lange made it. That's four guys.
That's four. Okay, I was one off.
Okay, all right. But still,
that's a shitload.
Like, oh, I mean, Ted Karras was a drafted player last year who made the team, and he got beat out by an undrafted rookie.
Yeah, but he was a sixth-round player. I mean, it's kind of similar to Connor McDermott, a guy who they probably wanted to keep, the sixth-round tackle out of UCLA.
Yeah.
Who wound up getting claimed by the Bills. So he definitely – and we cut a bunch of players that got – I think we had a league-high four guys that we cut that other teams claimed.
Oh, so really?
So it's the Austin Carr kid, the receiver – He got claimed. I just mentioned Connor McDermott to the Bills, and there were two other guys that both got scooped up by other teams. So we had, I mean, obviously a very competitive roster, top to bottom, and a lot of people that were watching and liked what they saw for some of the guys that we unfortunately had to let go.
Yeah. I mean, we talked, you know, a little bit about how Butler looked like he was going to stick because of, you know, the position he's playing at and how the depth's not really there. And same with Harvey Lange.
Yep.
The biggest thing to me was the Jacob Hollister beating out two veteran tight ends, one we traded for.
Yeah, they cut Matt Langle a little early, so we knew he wasn't going to stay. But, I mean, James O'Shaughnessy, they traded a pick for him. They wanted him.
Yeah, and this kid beat him.
Yeah, he was from, like, Wyoming, right? Or was that his brother? That might have been.
No, he's from Wyoming.
He's from Wyoming. What an animal.
24 years old.
Went to the only four-year university in the state. Do you know that?
No, I don't even know what that means.
That's the University of Wyoming.
5 years?
No. It's the only university in the entire state of Wyoming.
Oh, that's what you mean. Oh, that's it. Wow. Damn.
Fun fact here on the Patriot Podcast.
Well, we drove through Wyoming. There was nothing there. So
nothing
it
at all.
It surprised me too much. But for him, I mean, that's pretty impressive that he beat out two guys. He's definitely a good receiver. I mean, he's only about 240 pounds. And then his brother made the practice squad, which is nice.
Yeah. I think one of the big stories is how many guys we were able to get back in the practice squad. I mean, DJ Foster is on the practice squad. I am shocked that nobody else picked him up.
I'm kind of shocked. But, I mean, running back these days is everybody's got a few, I feel like.
A guy with his receiving talent?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was a little surprised. I mean, I wasn't blown away by it, but I was definitely a little surprised.
I was really surprised. I mean, that skill set is so impactful And I don't see a lot of it from other teams. I mean, the Patriots always have a receiving back. The Saints always have somebody like that. But another team, I mean, when's the last time you saw a Packer running back be really explosive out of the backfield?
It's the last time you've seen a Packer running back do anything out of the backfield.
I know.
Outside of what's-his-name's, like, first year. He's on the Seahawks now. Yeah.
Eddie Lacy? Yeah, but he didn't catch the ball all that much.
No. I was a little surprised, too, that Richards made the team.
Jordan Richards?
Yeah. Didn't really think he was going to stick, but clearly they did. They liked him, so.
Yeah, it's curious. It seems like he's a – I think he won one of the off-season workout awards, and it seems like he's just all-around good citizen on the team. And he's a solid athlete, and he could probably fill in special teams if we had an injury to somebody. Somebody like Nate Ebner, I would expect Jordan Richards to be next up. Speaking of which, Ebner is limited in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So he might need to fill in already the first week. I would say the big things that happened in the roster cutdown were the trades. Now, the first domino that fell was Cyrus Jones tearing his ACL in the last preseason game. So that made it really essential that we find somebody to return kicks and some more cornerback depth. And they solved both of those issues through separate trades, the second of which was trading a seventh-round pick to the Lions for Johnson Batamosi, who just seems like a special teamer, real low on the depth chart cornerback.
Yeah.
But then the big one.
Yep.
The big one was trading Jacoby Brissett for Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, which has all kinds of layers to it in my mind.
Yeah, you could piece apart what this means for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this means, does it mean that they didn't really like him that much? Because there were some people who thought he might actually not make the team.
Brissett?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he had a great last preseason game, but that was the last preseason game against Scrubs.
He did tear it up.
He did. And that's
played
probably
very
why,
well.
Probably one of the biggest reasons why the Colts traded for him.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like maybe the Pats weren't going to keep him on the roster, and that they just used that draft pick last year as part of the four-game insurance on Brady. And then seeing how well Brady's doing and seeing how well Jimmy has played, that they just didn't need to carry a third quarterback. But does that mean that in the long term, the long-term solution at quarterback is one of those two guys?
Yeah, it means a few things. I mean, I was surprised that the Colts were the takers of Brissett anyways in the first place, just because, you know, you got Andrew Luck there. They don't know how long he's going to be injured, but you're going to start Brissett. I mean, you're not going to start the guy.
You're going to start Scott Tolzien?
Well, you're going to get him, what, 5 days before the season starts?
I think that means that Andrew Luck is going to be out for a while.
It could be. I mean, but is he also a starting quarterback yet? Yeah, I don't really know. The implications, though, of what this means going forward, like you said, so that means that, I mean, the whole thing, me and you were pretty much in agreement that you trade Garoppolo. That Brissett was good enough in service
to be a backup
for however long that was going to be, whatever. But the fact that now they have Garoppolo and he's got a looming contract coming up that's over at the end of the year, what does that mean? That could mean a few things. It could mean that, well, Brissett, it was a third round draft choice a year ago, and we just got a first round talent for him. So his, you know, value was at an all time high, and Belichick just figured, what the hell, let's fucking go for it. The other part of it is we didn't want it, really need him, and they really like Garoppolo, and they don't want to part ways with him. Does that mean they give him a contract after the end of the year? One would think so. You know, I wouldn't think they're not going to at this point. Then you go into the season with no quarterback, no backup quarterback. I'm talking about next year. You know, they always like to have somebody a couple years in, blah, blah, blah. So if they give him a contract, how is it even going to be possible? Are they trying to get have they put the clock on Brady?
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like.
Because you don't want to go into a season with a 41-year-old quarterback and a brand new slate at backup quarterback.
No.
Because Belichick has said many, many times how important he thinks the backup quarterback position is, and you wouldn't want to go in with just some nobody.
Right. And especially, he said, older players, I think we've mentioned on this, when he talks about older players, he goes, it's really kind of just a drop off. It's not like they slowly get worse. It's like they're really good, and then, you know, so not soon after, they kind of have fallen off a cliff. That's how it tends to work with these older guys.
Right. It's not like the development of a younger player where it steadily goes uphill.
Exactly. It's just there's a cliff. So, and if you, I mean, you can't afford, so you got to give Jimmy the right to, there's two options. You let him, you try and compete with him in the open market, which they just can't do. Nope. I mean, you can't do that unless you just outright cut Tom Brady, which is unimaginable to me at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Belichick, as cut and dry as he is, he knows what Brady's done. I would be surprised if he just, yeah, you're done. We're not doing it anymore with you. We're not even giving you a chance to compete. Like, I can't see that happening. So that means you franchise tag him. But the kid's going to want to start. I mean, he's not going to want to sit around here for 3-4 years waiting for his opportunity. Like an Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers was waiting for his opportunity, and I feel like if he waited any longer with the end of Favre, he would have probably tried to get out of there.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jimmy doesn't really have a choice if they franchise tag him.
Yeah, so just the idea that they kind of put a clock on Brady, I don't like it. It's unsettling to me.
But it's, I mean, it's not that different than if they, we all fully expect them to franchise tag Jimmy and then either keep him or trade him from there.
Yeah.
But we're not just going to be like, oh, we'll take a compensatory pick. I don't see that happening.
No, right.
So this doesn't change that part of it. It just, I don't know, it makes it a little unsettling that they're ready to stick with Brady.
Exactly. It's, or they're not ready to, I mean.
Yeah, in, it makes, I don't feel settled that they want to stick with Brady.
And I was talking to, or I was listening to some talk radio, and I thought it was kind of outlandish, but maybe they had a point. Like, if, you know, is it, they posed the question, is it Super Bowl or bust for Brady this year in terms of his career? If, I mean, I don't believe this, but they were just saying, you know, if Brady doesn't win the Super Bowl, if he has a, you know, something, you know, doesn't get to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, or he has a big loss in the playoffs, blah, 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 is that the end of, you know, is that all they're going to give him? And I don't think it's that cut and dry, but just the fact that, you know, that's a valid question.
Anybody can have a bad game, and that doesn't mean that it's over. I would lean more towards if Brady, for some reason, didn't finish in the top 10 of MVP voting. I feel like that's
what it is.
You know, personal performance barrier that he should hit. I mean, he should be in the top 5 without a doubt. But if he falls outside the top 10, I don't know.
I think you still give him the chance next year to compete.
I'm way too emotionally biased to give a real answer to that question.
I know, right? I know. Me too.
But I can't imagine him, you know, being Peyton Manning on another team or any of the countless quarterbacks that have done that. Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, the list goes on, Brett Favre.
I know.
But yeah, it was a huge deal that they traded Jacoby. But if he doesn't play that well in the last game of the preseason, I feel like this is more of a roster dump. And I would also say, you mentioned before that Philip Dorsett is a first-round talent, which he is. He was a first-round draft pick, and he deserved to be. Has not played like it at all.
No.
He still has game-breaking speed.
Well, I mean, so I haven't watched enough of the Colts games to know if it's just him not being a good player or just the sham of a Colts offense not doing that guy any favors.
I got to think it's mostly the second one.
I do too. I mean, you look at how their team is built. I remember them making this pick.
Yeah.
In 2015. Because we were like, don't they have three receivers? They have T.Y. Hilton as their main guy. They had, what was his name? Starts with an M.
Moncrief, Dante.
Moncrief, who they liked. And there was somebody else too at the point that time. And there might even still be there. So he was like their fourth receiver.
Yeah. Do they still have Reggie Wayne?
No, but maybe at the time they did.
Yeah.
No, that's when he tried out for the Patriots. Either way.
They were loaded at the position, and we were all laughing because we're like, do you have a single tackle on this team? How about a guard?
They have no offensive line. Plus, Luck has been injured the last 2 years on and off, and even when he gets on the field, he has about 1.2 seconds to throw it.
Yeah.
So a speedster on the outside doesn't really benefit from any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not like the guy hasn't played. I mean, you know, in the 2 years he's put up about 1,700 yards. Nothing total. To write home total. Nothing to write home about, but I mean, he's seen time. They've put him on the field. So it's not like he can't catch the ball or something.
The takeaway that I get is that he's game-breaking speed, but is not a receiver. You know, he's not a polished because right. you can
not
say
a polished
about,
product.
You can say the same thing about T.Y. Hilton. You go, oh, he's a speedster. Like, it wouldn't do any favors in that offense. T.Y. has been great. You know why? Because he's a good receiver. He knows how to run routes. He gets separation.
True.
He can play the position.
But Luck always looked at
that.
Luck has always looked at him.
Okay. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, I know, but he hasn't.
Dorsett has proved almost nothing in terms of his route running ability. Now, that doesn't mean he can't catch wide receiver screens and run go routes. And that's about it. That's about all they're going to ask him to do, I think.
Right.
And
so,
return punts, potentially, which he did his first game in the NFL, fumbled two punts, and has never done it since.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Tell you, you know, mention about. I think that they mostly got him. I think what they're going to do with the punts is because clearly we've went from being completely perfect at kick returning to
punt returning.
Sorry.
Terrible at kick returning.
To nobody. We've always been terrible at kick returning.
Yeah.
But you know, we had Julian Edelman, we had Cyrus Jones, who's looking good. Worst case scenario, you have Amendola. What I think they're going to do is I think they're going to put Amendola back there and really not have him play much receiver, only in very, you know, sparingly. And try
I don't
and have,
think it'll impact his receiving snaps, but I do think he's going to be back there.
I think he's going to be back there. I think because I read somewhere that they're going to put him on a snap count.
Oh.
So
he's basically just on a third down count. How
right.
How many third downs do we get into? That's
big
how many
plays. That's
plays.
Where he's going to be in there. He's going to be in there big game, you know, big plays. We need a third down. We need a big play, whatever. And I think Dorsett, if he can do anything, is going to take time. Take that time as the fourth receiver.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's going to be Hogan. It's going to be Cooks. It's going to be Mitchell as long as he's healthy. And then between him and Dorsett and Amendola, just so because they can't get. If Amendola gets hurt, I mean, who do you put back there? Chung?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they want to do that.
I wouldn't want to do that. Amendola is trustworthy back there. You want to come in with a strong, hey, if you have any, if you hear a single footprint or foot, you know, footstep.
Yeah, you'll
just,
catch.
Just fair catch that shit.
Right.
This is we're planning on a 19-game season.
Right.
And we would prefer for you to be there at the end rather than the beginning.
Well, it's not that I don't trust Chung. It's the fact that you don't want him getting injured.
Yeah, you don't want him getting. I mean, it's a scary fucking play to have your head looking up into the clouds as superhuman athletes bear down on you full
sprint
speed, trying to decapitate
you.
Right. It's not a safe job.
No. So Amendola, best of luck to him. But I think that's why they brought in Dorsett, because they were like, well, if Amendola is up,
they're going to try him out at practice at punt returner. And see if he can handle the ball at all.
I don't think it's going to work.
I don't think he's going to start the season there.
No. I think he's going to be that third or fourth receiver in there to take pressure off Amendola from not having to be in there all the time.
I see him as an outside receiver exclusively, and I think he's going to catch wide receiver screens, and I think he's going to take some safety help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to allow Chris Hogan to play on the inside more.
Okay.
I feel like Cooks has inside-outside capability. I think Hogan does, too. Different route tree for the two of them. But I think Hogan's his size comes into play a little bit more on the inside. And I don't know. I just got a feeling he's going to play more on the inside. And Dorsett will play on the outside. And we mentioned before how those two speedsters on the outside, we were thinking Hogan and Cooks, but if it's Cooks and Dorsett, then that can really threaten a team deep and open up the underneath stuff even more.
Mm-hmm.
Where Hogan can be effective. He's good after the catch, too. I think that Malcolm Mitchell's still pretty banged up. I kind of expect him to be inactive for the first game.
Think so?
I don't know. It depends. But was it a knee or a hamstring? I can't remember.
His knee.
It was his knee last year, too.
Well, he's had two ACL surgeries.
Oh, gee. Good.
But if it was anything with his ACL, I feel like they would have put him on IR right by now.
Yeah, or he wouldn't be practicing, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So it's probably just bruising or something like that. Hopefully nothing too crazy. But, yeah,
It's a layer of definitely. Insurance. He's a layer yep. of insurance, right?
He's a layer of insurance. Yep. So definitely surprising, but
the yeah. other trades, my boy Justin Coleman got shipped out.
Yep, to Seattle.
Yeah.
Or a pick.
Seattle's always liked him. Yeah, seventh rounder. And then they they turned around and sent that seventh rounder to the Bengals. Or I think we traded our seventh rounder to the Bengals for Marquise Flowers, a special teamer, linebacker, depth player.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also traded with the Seahawks again, this time sending a fifth and a seventh for Cassius Marsh, defensive end. So we get another edge rusher. How about that?
Yeah. He plays with magic cards.
Does he?
Yep.
Good for him. All right.
Not sure how I think of that one, but all right.
He was a former fourth round pick at a UCLA. You know, 6'4", 270. He's your prototypical edge rusher size.
Mm-hmm. He, 3.5 sacks last year in a 16-game season. I don't expect anything spectacular out of him. He's really just a rotational guy.
All of these guys are.
Yeah.
That's what's so great about Belichick is that, or, I mean, the whole personnel staff, Nick Casario and everyone on down from there, is that they are willing to spend all this time and resource on guys who are, you know, 40th through 53 on the roster.
Right. Role players. The role players.
Exactly.
And they're great at it.
At identifying people. I mean, the Seahawks are in the NFC West, the furthest that you could get from the Patriots.
Yeah.
And yet they know who's on that team and how they like them, how they value them. I mean, you could say the same thing for the Seahawks about coming for Justin Coleman for the second time in his career.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is crazy. Well, you look at it, like, I heard, you know, I think it was week after the third preseason game, they're asking Belichick what he's been doing. He goes, well, I watched every preseason game of every team. I've seen them all. It's like, who else in the NFL? I mean, do you think other coaches are doing all that?
I doubt it.
I mean, maybe, but I tend to doubt it. And it's like, you routinely ask this guy how he is so good and looking for all these things that he's doing wrong and what, you know, how he's doing it. That's what he's doing. He just watches fucking football all the time.
Yeah, he works more than they do.
And he knows what to look for at this point because he's been doing it so long, so he doesn't, you know, he knows what he wants.
It's great. And I would expect at least one of those guys that they traded for to not work out. And I would expect at least one of those guys to work out pretty well.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's how it goes.
Yep.
We're really ditching these draft picks recently. I mean, we just traded a fifth, sixth, and seventh. One of the sixth was in 2019, but fifth and seventh were both in 2018.
Yeah, I've noticed that. They've been doing it the last 4 or 5 years now. Yeah. And I wonder how much research they've gone into and said, okay, let's take a look at, you know, how many of these draft picks have stuck for us in these later rounds versus when we trade them and what we get for them. So, like, the Hakeem Ayers in the Knicks. What's his name? Hakeem Knicks? Is that what his name? No.
Hakeem Knicks.
Like, those guys.
Hakeem Knicks.
Yeah. It's like
Jonathan Casillas. I mean, the list goes
there's
on.
There's a long list of guys. And I'm sure somebody's sitting in there going, you know, okay, well, you know, we've scored on one out of five of our draft picks versus we're, you know, one for three on guys we've traded for that are veterans that have been here. Like, what do you think we should do?
Yeah, you know? I'm sure they've analyzed it, and you know they come to the conclusion that even a sixth round pick like Connor McDermott doesn't make the team. Sixth round pick Ted Karras made the team for one season. You know, I mean, we could go back to previous years. Kamau Grugier-Hill, do you remember him from last year?
Mm-hmm.
He had a great preseason, didn't make the team.
Right.
Devin Lucien, seventh round pick, never made the team. AJ Derby, I mean, Daryl Roberts, Xavier Dixon, Matthew Wells, and half these guys that are sixth round and later don't make it.
Right. But then how many times have they put, you know, a fifth and a seventh or a sixth and a seventh or 2 sixths together and get a guy who contributes for the year?
Yeah, it happens.
A handful of times. So
And sometimes it doesn't work out, but that's okay.
Yep. Any other trades?
I think that was it for on the trade front, but I just wanted to talk about my favorite roster move that they made. On Saturday, they cut Brandon Bolden before the deadline. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, everybody really likes Brandon Bolden, and like, you wanted him to make the team. Everyone knew that there was the running back spot was so crowded.
Yeah, just a locker room guy.
Yeah. And then what they did is they wait 24 hours, and then they put Shea McClellan on the IR, and then they signed Bolden back.
Yeah, why'd they do it like that?
Because now Shea McClellan can come back this year.
Oh.
He can be one of the guys that returns off the IR.
Oh, so he can't. So he's not out for the year.
He's not out for the year.
Oh.
But if they had put him on the IR before the 53-man deadline, then he would be out for the year.
Oh.
So they funny. Yeah.
I'm surprised. Kind of surprised Bolden didn't get claimed by somebody.
I don't know. I feel like his contract was a little bit high for another team to grab.
Yeah.
Actually, now that we say that, I don't remember what his deal was that was just terminated. But it's very possible that he was worth more to the Patriots than any other team. And people looked at him and they were like, well, let's just wait for him to clear waivers. Oh, I know what it is. He is a vested veteran. And so if he is on a team for their 53-man cutdown, his salary becomes immediately guaranteed for the entire season.
Really? Because he's been in the league for so long?
Yeah. I'm not sure how many years it is. It might just be playing out your rookie contract. Might be 4 years. But
yeah,
because he's a vested veteran, if anybody claimed him, they were required to pay him his salary for the entire season.
Oh, okay.
So they might have been like, you know what, let's just wait this out, and then we can sign him to a new deal, and that way it's not fully guaranteed.
Yeah, because he is a really good fit. He's definitely a good special teams player.
Yeah, and he's versatile as a backup running back too. Though yeah. not super impactful in the running game.
Right.
So I'm glad that he's back, and I thought it was a really shrewd move. They'll probably outlaw it pretty soon, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yep.
The other one was Antonio Garcia, the third round pick tackle, is on the non-football injury list, so he is out for the year. So we had four draft picks this year. Derek Rivers is on the IR, out for the year. Antonio Garcia on the non-football injury list, out for the year. Dietrich Wise got a concussion, but he's on the roster. And then sixth-round pick Connor McDermott gets cut, and he's in Buffalo. So that's our draft class. One guy.
One guy.
One guy this year. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
And here we are with our roster. I love what they did with the practice squad. I mean, we mentioned it before, but they brought back a lot of... Geno Grissom is still there.
Mm-hmm.
James Ferentz, the center, is there. Cody Hollister, the wide receiver. His brother Jacob's on the team. Cody is on the practice squad. That's got to be awesome for the two of them.
I know. Well, I was going to say how weird it would be if one made it and one didn't.
Well, at least they're both still practicing and hanging out. Just one of them's making 10 times as much money.
Right, exactly.
What are you going to do? I think that pretty much wraps up the roster part of this discussion. Was there anything else you want to go over? You want to jump
in? Real briefly. Captains were selected today. You see that?
Yeah.
And you have the usuals there. Brady, Gronk, Hightower, McCourty, and Slater. And then two new ones. David Andrews, center, which is a huge step in the right direction. And the real surprise was Daron Harmon.
I know, right?
Yeah. Couldn't believe that. He made that. Good for him.
Yeah, seriously good for him.
Hopefully that spells a really good season for him coming up.
Well, everyone said that he kind of rallied the troops at halftime during the Super Bowl. They said that he was pretty much the instigator of getting everybody up and getting everybody ready to take on the challenge of that comeback.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that endeared him to a bunch of his teammates as his prophecy became fulfilled. But David Andrews in his third year, what a rise for him. He's an undrafted, well, let's put it this way. He is a lifetime captain at Georgia. Holds that distinction.
Really?
Comes in as an undersized, undrafted free agent to the Patriots, who have a returning starting center
yep.
who just won the Super Bowl in his rookie year. And all David Andrews does is compete, make the team, and he has started, I think, every game except one since, something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, caps it off with a 3-year extension and a captaincy.
Yeah.
More power to him, baby face. Maybe he should shave. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's working for him. Seems to be going well, right?
I think he should do something with the beard. I think he should keep part of it and, like, you know.
It looks a little ratty, and then he's got those, like, he's got the red cheeks like a young kid.
Yeah.
Who's been out in the cold too long.
Yeah.
It's not the most intimidating look, but I could see him. We discussed this in a previous podcast. I could see him being one of the enforcers on this offense.
I was just going to say that, actually. Yeah, he definitely was getting a little chippy in preseason games. Anyone, you know, he was one of the guys coming over and shoving everybody.
Yeah, he's a strong teammate.
Andrews, here we go.
Yeah, go for him. So, yeah, now we got a roster set. I mean, there's going to be turnover at the back end of the roster, as especially these new faces try to learn what's going on, and maybe some of them stick, maybe some of them won't.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, this seems like a pretty good roster, you know, pretty balanced. It seems like there are weapons all over the place. The thing I would caution people about, I know everyone is so high on this team. I want to bring expectations back to a more reasonable level.
For the Patriots,
yeah. They go, oh, this is a Super Bowl championship team, and now they got more talent than they did last year. Yeah, well, this is a team that, I mean, was given basically all they could handle by the Texans in the mm-hmm. divisional rounds. This is a team that blew out the Steelers without their best offensive player. Le'Veon Bell played, what, like 2 snaps in that mm-hmm. game?
Yep.
And then we went to the Super Bowl and promptly got down 25 points and had to have everything fall into place just so in order to win that game. It was not a dominant playoff run.
No.
Outside of that Pittsburgh game, but that was a depleted Steelers roster.
Even Brady didn't really have his best playoff run either. I mean, he wasn't like he was on fire.
He was on fire against the Steelers.
Against Steelers, that's true.
And we know how you feel about that defense.
Right, that defense has been terrible for years, since Paul Molo pretty much left. But
what I wanted to say is that it was not a dominant team. This was not the 04 Patriots that they're right. coming off of. You know,
it wasn't even the 2014 Patriots.
Yeah, that was potentially a better team. And now you add Stephon Gilmore, and you presume that that's going to be an upgrade over Logan Ryan, which I think is probable.
That's fair to say.
But it's still a bit of a projection. I mean, sometimes these guys sign massive contracts, and then that's the last thing that they do proactively.
Yeah. Especially cornerbacks.
Yeah. Well, everyone remembers Dallas Thomas. Everyone knows that. That's a cautionary tale when you give out these big contracts. So we assume that that's an upgrade, but then, you know, what's going on at defensive end? We just lost our top 3 defensive ends, right?
Yeah.
And then you look offensively and go, oh, okay, we got Brandon Cooks and we got Gillislee and Burkhead, but we lost LeGarrette Blount and now Edelman's injured.
Yeah.
Out for the year. So you're like, we lost Martellus Bennett. We replaced him with Dwayne Allen. I think that's probably a downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of like, is this really that good a team?
Well,
I feel like at a talent standpoint, we're really not better right now than we were for that Super Bowl.
I mean, they've definitely got
Gronk's healthy.
They've got a lot of talent, I think. But I do think that they've, with the Edelman injury, they kind of came back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, the Edelman injury is massive. I don't think people are appreciating how huge
that is. I think, yeah, I mean, just from his punt returns. I mean, we went from, you know, whenever he was returning a punt, you had to, the other team had to really watch out, like, oh, shit, he could take this back.
He's still one of the all-time greats in terms of punt return average.
Yeah, I think he really, you know, brought this team, because now all of a sudden, you know, the idea of him, Hogan, and Cooks was more intimidating than anything else we had on the field. So without that, you know, I think that takes a huge, huge chunk out of, you know, and brings us...
It brings
floating down a little bit, you know, not
a lot closer to the pack.
Yeah, it definitely
brings
us close.
We're still above the pack. I still firmly believe the Patriots are the number one team in the NFL, and I think just about everybody else does too.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, that's funny too, that I heard, obviously this is all hearsay, but on Ninkovich, at the end, I was talking to someone over the weekend who works in the Giants organization, and he's, you know.
Uh-oh, you got sources, man.
Little sources. Yeah. But not tons of inside information, but he, you know, apparently these teams all talk and know what's going on. And he said he wouldn't be surprised if Ninkovich came back around week six. And I was like,
how does the guy in the Giants organization know that?
They all kind of know that shit. Okay. You know, like they all talk. I mean, that's they all kind of know. It's their competitors. They need to know these types of things. And he was just like, that's the general gist of what we're all getting. And I was, we're all like, what do you mean? He was like, well, older guy, like a lot of those guys just want to skip the first part of the season. Don't want to deal with all that, the training and all that shit. So if he comes back, which could happen, it would be around, you know, okay. Week six-ish.
That's a whole lot of speculation.
It is a lot of speculation.
It's happened before. Andre Carter's come back midway through the season. Junior Seau did it for a good chunk of his career.
Yep.
But so
it's possible.
Yeah. Can't be counting on that. I want to see how this guy, Cassius Marsh, plays. I want to see if Dietrich Wise can continue to build on what he did in training camp. You know, we want to see what they have on the edge before hoping and praying for a 33-year-old who's, I guess, maybe been staying in shape for the last 2 months. I have word that he is looking for a job, actually.
What does that mean?
That means I have a source of my own that works in a certain industry that is not football-related, and Ninkovich has been sniffing around for job prospects.
Really?
Yes.
This is true.
This is true. I'm not actually making this up.
It sounds like you're making it up.
I'm not.
All right, Sean's got a source from somebody.
In an industry.
At least I named the what we're partially.
Well, I'm not
source.
Trying to out people here.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't be surprised if we addressed that position within the next so many weeks.
Okay. Well, I mean, we just did to some extent with that trade.
Yeah, a little bit. I think a little more. Like, Akeem Ayers is actually on the free market. Maybe he comes back.
I think expectations would be too high if we brought him in.
Yeah.
But, so I just wanted to temper expectations. That's all I'm saying, is that this is not a runaway team right now.
No.
I think if you put Edelman back on this team and maybe bolster the edge or make me more confident in the pass rush, which could come in the first four games of the season, we could see better play from some of these people.
Right.
That would make me feel a lot more comfortable. And now I know we're splitting hairs about a team that is the number one team in the NFL. Widely acknowledged, and I think rightfully so. Just want to temper expectations. Now, this brings us to the start of the season, 2017. Chiefs. The Chiefs are coming in. The last time, did we play them last year? We did. Did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
When? We played them 2 years ago in the playoffs and beat them by, like, one score. I don't remember seeing
them last
year. I
thought we beat the crap out of them.
I don't remember that happening.
Didn't we beat the shit out of them in the playoffs? Remember? Like in the playoffs.
The playoffs, it was pretty close.
Didn't like we return a kick for a touchdown, and then Brady scored it. We were up like 14-0 in minutes.
I remember they had an onside kick at the end of the game, and it was pretty close. And then we needed that first down to Edelman on the right side, and that was what sealed it. But I think it was a one score game.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. So the Pats did not play the Chiefs last year.
Are you looking? You didn't see anything?
No, they didn't play last year. But this is a Chiefs team that went 12-4 last year. They're very balanced offensively and defensively. They have lost some players from last year till now. And they've gone through a little bit of a... This kind of happened mid-season last year, but also continues till now. A little bit of a reshaping on offense, which is mostly... making it all about Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what they've been doing. And, I mean, they lost Jamal Charles. Spencer Ware just got injured. I think Charcandrick West might be injured also, if he's even still on this team.
Yeah,
I mean,
Kareem Hunt is the starting running back.
Yeah, and he's a rookie. And he comes with some level of acclaim coming out of Toledo. He was a pretty decent draft pick this year. But still a rookie at running back. Oh, Charcandrick West is still there. And then they cut Jeremy Maclin. So at wide receiver, you're looking at a bunch of people.
That nobody knows.
Ostensibly backups. I mean, Chris Conley is a guy who's got a lot of raw skill, raw talent, I should say, athletic skill, who's going to be a decent receiver. I mean, he'll be the number two receiver in this offense, but Tyreek Hill is being counted on as a number one receiver.
All out, everything.
Which is, I don't see that as his game. I don't see him as a really talented receiver yet.
He's the type of player that needs space.
Yeah.
You get him into space, he's great, but that's not usually the guy that you want to, you know, surround your, you know, be the focal point of your offense. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to make a comparison. I mean, he's got a skill set.
It's like Jarvis Landry. That's what I think of him like.
Oh, he's not at all like Jarvis Landry.
The guy in the Dolphins?
No.
Get him into space and he takes off.
Jarvis Landry makes space. That's the difference.
Okay.
I think Tyreek Hill runs away from people, but he doesn't create space from man-to-man defenders in short areas. He needs distances.
Okay, whatever.
So I view Jarvis Landry similar to Edelman, a guy that creates space in short areas.
Okay.
Versus like Tyreek Hill, I see closer to a Philip Dorsett type skill set. Now, obviously, Tyreek Hill has played immeasurably better than Philip Dorsett, but they're long range burners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you got their other. Did you say Kelce yet?
I did not, but Travis Kelce is the second best tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, so they got him. But outside of those two.
That's really it.
That's really it.
And now Alex Smith is not a guy that's going to make a ton of spectacular throws.
I'm going to just say it. Alex Smith sucked last year. He was terrible.
He wasn't that bad. He had a 12-4 team.
He had 15 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
Did he really?
That was his stats. 15 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. That's 67%
completions.
That is, he had, somehow had a 91 quarterback rating. 15-8 is terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's pretty bad.
No, eight interceptions in a season
is
for
not
a full-time starting quarterback is not bad.
But 15 touchdowns.
15 touchdowns is low.
Is a joke.
Very low. Yeah,
it's a joke. Terry Poe threw a touchdown last year. I mean, come
this
on.
This has been a constant issue for the Chiefs. I mean, they had a season, it was like 2 years ago, they didn't throw a single touchdown to a receiver.
Pretty sad. Pretty sad. I mean, so you have Travis Kelce and you can't throw more than 4 touchdowns to the guy? He had 1,100 yards.
That's it?
He had 4 touchdowns.
Wow. He should be a 10 touchdown at least guy. I mean, Tyler Eifert had 10 touchdowns.
And just so everybody knows too, as good of as Tyreek Hill is, he had 593 yards last year.
Receiving. Yeah, but did you see what he did in the return game? How about his rushing stats?
297 yards.
267,
I'm sorry.
Way to keep track, huh?
But
I know, but he didn't play.
I mean,
he didn't really become a featured part of the offense until the later part of the season. Latter.
Ooh. I mean, none of that is very good.
The point that we're trying to make is that this offense relies on those two guys.
Yeah, and recently in the NFL, you need a good 3 people, a good 3 weapons on offense to really do any damage.
Yeah, and there's no reason to think that their running game should pose much of a threat.
No.
Right now.
I mean, their line's okay. Like
they got some good O-linemen.
Eric Fisher's good.
He's all right.
But
Mitch Morse is a terrific center.
Yeah.
DuVernay-Tardif, the Canadian right guard, the guy that's becoming a doctor in the offseason, he's a really solid right guard. Mitchell Schwartz is a very good right tackle. It's the left side of the line that's a bit iffy, which is surprising because they have a number one overall pick at left tackle.
Yeah. So, good offensive line, but I mean, the weapons around it just, I mean, this offense, with the way the Patriots defense is and the uncertainty they have at some positions, I think this is a very good offense to start against.
To
give you some talent. You know, it's not like it's the Browns and you don't need to cover anybody. No, they've got a couple guys that are, you know, going to be pretty damn good, but they're not, you know, it's not like the Steelers offense where, damn, we really got to figure out what the hell we're doing here or they can make our defense look silly type of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it's a good a good start for a measuring stick to see where they can go with this.
Yeah. Do you think you got Malcolm Butler following Tyreek Hill around?
Yeah.
I think so, probably. We talked about it here. He did not have a good August. Butler, that is.
Well, and Butler came out and said it too. Did you hear what he said?
No.
They go, how'd your training camp go? And he goes, bad. He goes, I'm way better than that. And he goes, no one should be worried. And he goes, I would just, you know, I expect way more out of myself. So
he always says the right things.
He knows what he knew what he was doing. He wasn't satisfied with it. I love it. I was like, I'm not worried in the least bit, Malcolm, just because you said that. So
I think they'll start with that. And, you know, this is another, we'll say it again. We say it all the time during the season, but when we talk about certain schemes and you go, oh, you have Malcolm Butler on Tyreek Hill, that's some of the time.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out, even with Darrell Revis. They weren't just like, oh, him on him, and that's that.
Right.
It would change. You know, you play a little zone here, you mix it up a little bit. But for the most part, I think that's a pretty decent matchup for us, at least in the passing game,
with
safety help.
And then Chung on Kelsey, I always like.
Yeah, that's good too. I don't have any problems bracketing Travis Kelsey.
No.
Do it. Keep a safety over the top of Tyreek Hill, bracket coverage on Travis Kelsey, and then you can put Gilmore on Chris Conley. Albert Wilson. I mean, put Eric Rowe on him. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they'll be fine against the other guys.
Yeah.
And that way you can keep a fair amount of attention. I mean, assuming that Travis Kelsey is lining up in the box, you got a fair amount of guys to defend against the run too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Alex Smith runs a little bit, so I expect the rush lane type of
even watching rush. On TV, you can see every move Alex Smith's going to make 3 minutes before he makes it. Like, oh, he's throwing there. Yep, there he goes. Oh, he's going to run to the left. There he goes.
Yeah. There's a reason they used the top 10 pick on a quarterback this year.
Yeah, so offense, I'm not overly afraid of anything they do.
Yeah, their defense is the strength of this team. I mentioned that they were balanced, and to some extent they are, although the defense is definitely the better unit.
Did they get rid of what's his name? Their D end?
Good start. How we doing? What's his name? Is that really what you're going with?
Did I don't they know get
rid of what's his name?
Tamba. That's his name. Tamba Ali.
Tamba Ali's on the pop list.
Oh, okay. Is that what happened?
Yeah. So he'll be back later in the year, but we won't see him.
Okay.
Not like they don't have enough edge rushers between Justin Houston, D4. They got Frank Zombo.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be...
Zombo's okay, but it's really Ford and Houston.
Yeah, but they also got guys up front. Chris Jones is a second-year player who had a really good rookie season as one of their defensive ends. They run a 3-4 scheme.
Alan Bailey's good, I feel like.
Alan Bailey's he's a good penetrator. Benny Logan even gets in the backfield. They picked him up to offset the loss of Dontari Poe.
Mm-hmm.
So front seven-wise, really good. Well, at least I think their D-line is good, and I think their edge rushers are very good. And then Derek Johnson, I don't know what to expect coming back from that Achilles.
And yeah.
I think he's had two Achilles now, and he's like 34, 35. It's hard to imagine him being the player he has been for much longer.
Well,
and even right now, I mean, it was really late in the season, right? I mean, it was like November, December when he tore that. So you're talking about 9-10 month rehab.
Mm-hmm. That's, and especially for an older player,
it's tough.
Not easy.
Just ask Vince Wilfork. So I feel like the inside linebackers, especially in coverage, might be a weakness. Next to Derek Johnson, they got Ramiq Wilson, and then they just traded for Reggie Ragland, but I don't expect to see him just yet. He's been on the injury report.
Yeah, the center of their defense up front is the weakness. The ends and rush linebackers are actually really good. So that, you know, get the ball out quick, run up the middle type of thing.
I'm thinking running backs catching the ball.
Yeah, especially running backs catching the ball. And then you go to their secondary, and they have two of arguably the best players at the positions.
Yeah.
Eric
two Berry,
bowlers. Free safety. Marcus Peters at cornerback. I mean, that's damn good.
Yeah, Marcus Peters is he's a gambler at cornerback. He gets a lot of interceptions, but he jumps routes. He guesses a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's dangerous to try to catch him guessing, but I want to see Brady do it.
Brady probably do it.
I want to see him set him up.
He does. That's what he does. He's probably the best at looking people off in the league.
Yeah, he might be. Marcus Peters is dangerous, though. He takes the ball away well. And you mentioned Eric Berry. Eric Berry is right at the tippity top of the best safeties in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the best, in my opinion.
But
I mean, the guy beat cancer and came back and is still the best.
I know. He's an animal.
Unbelievable.
He's an animal. But Earl Thomas is right at the top of that category, too.
I don't know. I think he wins.
Did you see what happened to the Seahawks defense without him last year? Did you see it?
Yeah, nice shot.
Yeah.
But still.
That's what happens when you take one of the best defenses of all time and you remove Earl Thomas from it, and they become a shell of themselves.
Yeah.
That's how important he is.
Yeah.
But outside of those two guys, also at cornerback, you got Steven Nelson, who I don't know a single thing about.
Philip Gaines. I feel like he's old.
Are we talking about the same? No. He's only 26.
Huh.
The other safety is Ron Parker, who's been there for a number of years. He's just kind of a run-of-the-mill starter.
Yeah. Decent guy. Nothing too crazy, but...
It's a good defense.
It's a good defense. Definitely upper half of the league, for sure.
Yeah,
they usually run into... injuries, which kind of derails them through the end of the year, which is why they never kind of consistently do it.
But I mean, last year they were 7th in points against. They were 24th in yards against.
Gave up a lot of yards.
But they took away the ball 33 times. They led the league in takeaways.
Yes, I do remember that. But you got to remember too that Alan Bailey was injured last year. Houston was injured most of the year. Derek Johnson was injured most of the year. And Tam Ali was in and out of the roster most of the year, too. So, I mean, a core group of their guys were just gone. And, you know, that hurts a defense.
Yeah, and they still performed that well. You know, top 10 in points against and number one in takeaways. And that is a large, to a large extent, that has to do with, I mentioned Marcus Peters intercepting the ball, Eric Berry forcing fumbles as well as interceptions, and then that pass rush getting strip sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really the three big sources of those takeaways, and so it's incumbent upon Brady to protect the ball when he's throwing anywhere near Eric Berry.
Yeah,
and all the ball carriers that are going to be running, that guy's all over the field, so you're not going to be able to avoid him. Got to be careful, as we mentioned, throwing the ball to Marcus Peters, and then Justin Houston is probably the healthiest now that he has been in at least a year.
Absolutely.
If not in 2 years. So you're talking about a fresh
scary
Justin Houston. Yeah.
When he's
super, super duper good. And D Ford is a speedster on the edge as well. So I got to think that pass protection is going to be our number one concern in this game.
Absolutely.
Nate Solder hasn't played at all in the preseason. Is he? I saw the injury report. He wasn't even on it, I don't think.
No, I think he's playing. I haven't heard
anything. So he's probably going to play. Marcus Cannon's on the right side. I know he had a really good year last year, but there's always that little inkling of doubt when you're talking about Marcus Cannon. Especially, he's going to be on the right side. Justin Houston primarily lines up on the defense's left side.
Yeah.
So that's going to be that matchup.
Yeah, I'm actually more afraid of Solder, to be honest. Just because Ford is a speed rusher, and Solder's really good, but some of the speed rushers have gotten to him in the past.
What was it? What was his injury keeping him out of the games earlier this year?
I don't remember. I don't think we ever heard.
Oh. Undisclosed?
Believe so.
Kind of the same reason that Hightower was on the PUP list?
Yeah.
Undisclosed. You don't need to know.
Yeah. So. But
we got so many weapons.
It's really tough to say going into this game who we're going to use. Is it going to be James White? Is it going to be Deion Lewis at running back? Is it going to be both of them? Is it going to be Gillislee? How are they going to do the receiver situation? Is Malcolm Mitchell healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Can Philip Dorsett even get on the field?
I would expect him to be inactive.
Yeah, I would too. And how much double tight end are they going to run? You know, with Dwayne Allen. So it's tough for me to come up how to attack this defense when I have no idea who we're going to attack anything with. Or what. I mean, obviously, you're going to see Gronk out there, Cooks. I assume they're going to have Peters on Cooks. They could have him
Peters
on Hogan.
Usually, I thought Peters stays on the left side of the defense.
Does
he? I don't think he crosses.
Actually, I think you're right, now that I think about it. Yeah. So a lot of uncertainties with our offense. It's just a big mix of who knows what the hell's going to happen at this point.
Well, we haven't seen it. That's the thing.
We haven't seen enough of it.
You've mentioned before how Brandon Cooks is probably going to have a coming out party. I would expect that.
I can definitely see that. For sure.
That is the one thing
I am certain about, that Cooks is going to go nuts.
Yeah, and Hogan had a terrific preseason. I would kind of expect him to continue to build on that.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to see a lot of Hogan. I feel like the Chiefs would be out of their mind not to put a ton of pressure on Gronkowski, mainly with Eric Berry.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fucking hard to contain Gronk, but if they want to give him enough attention, then we might go elsewhere with the ball. And then at running back, something is telling me Rex Burkhead.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like Burkhead, to a degree more so than the other running backs, is a rush and receiving threat. I think he does both.
Hmm.
I think more so than the other guys. Deion Lewis can do it great, but he's on a snap count. He's on a touches count.
You think so?
They don't want to give him. See, I say that, and then I remember the preseason when he got banged up every week.
Yeah.
So maybe not.
Not anymore. Not that James White had his coming out party.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
James White's Mr. Big League now.
He really is.
I think Rex Burkhead. That's my guess.
I think they're going to go Gillislee, but maybe.
And maybe. Expect Dwayne Allen to block a ton.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to want help on those edge guys. That's the thing about the 3-4 offenses. When you got five guys on the line of scrimmage, it really makes you want to keep a tight end in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely would.
Yeah, for sure. Because that is what could ruin this game.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me what is the path the Chiefs would have to take to win this game, pressure the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's really it. They're going to need takeaways. They're probably going to need to win the turnover battle by at least two. And they're going to need to have consistent and disruptive pressure on Brady.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so we got to counter that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, keeping a tight end in, whether it's a tackle or it's Dwayne Allen or whatever, they're going to be blocking.
Yeah. So it should be a pretty good contest, but the Patriots have the edge on pretty. I would say our defense is better than their offense, and our offense is better than their defense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's a nice game to open, and it's opening game of the season, which means it's gonna have the banner ceremony.
Yep,
they're gonna drop down the fifth banner. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, they're gonna be amped. I mean, think about the fifth banner; they're gonna be going nuts too. Just that.
Oh hell yeah!
You know, all that energy from all that. So.
And we'll have the commissioner will be in the house.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of energy in Foxborough. It's going to be tough for the Chiefs to take that one over.
For real.
Got any predictions?
Any predictions for this game?
Mm-hmm.
I see it going pretty nicely. I'm going to say 27-14. Mm. No. 27-13.
I got it 31-17.
Okay. Same margin of victory. Look at that. Copycat. There's a bunch of other games. I haven't even looked at the other games this week, but the one big piece of news that I wanted to talk about was Ezekiel Elliott's suspension got upheld.
Yeah.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So he got suspended 6 games, and then he appealed. He had a 3-day appeal hearing in August, at like the last weekend in August, and then they waited a week, and then they just announced today, this is the Tuesday before the games,
yep,
that it was going to be upheld. And did you hear that he's going to be allowed to play week one because of the timing of the decision?
What?
Yes.
No, I did not hear that.
This is the word from the NFL, is that because of the timing of the appeal decision, that it's going to be upheld because it's during this game week. He's going to be able to play this weekend for week one. And then he's going to serve his 6-game suspension from then on.
Jesus.
And just so happens, I bet this just passed through the NFL offices without taking notice. Cowboys are playing on Sunday Night Football against the Giants this weekend.
Oh, are they?
A little fucking fishy to me.
Are they? Go figure.
Yeah. Those money-grubbing bastards. are just, they'll tweak whatever they have to do. The appeal decision was basically like, no, we didn't find your shit credible.
Yeah.
And did that really take you, what was it, like 7 days to figure that one out? 6 days?
Yeah, it's insane.
And you had to wait until just after Labor Day and go, oh, okay. No, it's upheld based on nothing. But yeah, you can play this weekend because you're on national TV.
Right.
And everyone's going to be watching. And now we have this amazing storyline we get to talk about
the
this
whole time. Oh, it's going to be nauseating.
Yeah. Yeah.
They suck.
We can see how that one goes. I
just wanted to say, I think we briefly talked about when the suspension came down that, you know, why Zeke got suspended. And I looked into it a little bit further, by no means an exhaustive search.
Mm.
But it seems like it boils down to a he said, she said.
Yeah.
And he's faced no, he hasn't been convicted of anything. And he categorically denies her claims. And there have been inconsistencies in a couple of her statements. And this is part of what was brought up at the appeals hearing.
Hmm.
And, you know, it is kind of scary that somebody can accuse you of something and then have no evidence. And then
it costs you
suspended for 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's costing them millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Not to mention whatever it would cost them in sponsorships.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a tough precedent for the NFL to further establish in the same way they did with Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Yep. One quick thing we didn't talk about either was the trade. The other Seattle. Seattle was busy this weekend. They got Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, good for them.
From the Jets. So him and Michael Bennett, don't really want to talk too much about it. That's going to be quite the duo. See how that works out. See what Sheldon Richardson they get as well.
They get good Sheldon Richardson, then that defense vaults to the very top of the list.
Yep, that's scary.
Yeah, if he's good and Earl Thomas is unaffected by coming back from his injury, then that's as good as that defense has ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
which is really saying something for a team that led the NFL in points against for a record 3 consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
And then finished second last year.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
As pretty for games this week,
yeah,
not a whole lot of exciting ones. I mean, it's football, so.
Lot of it is going to be watching players that you want, like a guy like Martavis Bryant, who missed all of last season. That's something I want to see that.
Yeah.
He's such a freak.
Yeah, I mean, the best 1 o'clock game I'm seeing is Oakland at Tennessee.
Hmm. Probably 2 playoff teams.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, everything else. Yeah.
Who's going to win the South?
Yeah,
Tom
right.
Tom Savage.
Exactly. And then the real big game is Seattle at Green Bay at 4:25.
Oh, shit. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be badass.
That's a good game.
Wow.
And then,
I can't believe they scheduled that. That's great.
Right? And then New York at Dallas at night at the 8:30 game. And then the Monday night games, as usual, are kind of shitty.
I don't know. Saints at Vikings might be fun.
Yeah.
You don't think so? I mean, the Vikings have a very good defense. Saints have a great offense. We'll see how good their offense is, minus Brandon Cooks. And then somebody else is – Willie Snead is injured? Or he's suspended? He's suspended for 3 games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So maybe not that crazy. Some people think the Chargers might make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know a couple people that are really high on the Chargers. Just Denver these days, I don't know what they've got anymore.
I don't know. I think letting go of Wade Phillips is a huge mistake.
Yeah, on defense?
Wade Phillips is a mastermind defensively. He turns bad units into great units.
I've shit on him so much, but yeah, he does it well.
He did it in Dallas. He did it with the Texans, and he did it in Denver.
Yep.
And now they get rid of him and expect the results to be the same because they hired the guy from Miami who had a great defense last year, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea there, Elway. Well, is there anything else you want to cover?
I think we did a pretty good job with it.
Dude, it's starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning.
This is the NFL. We're ready to roll.
This is great. College football started, now the NFL started. Oh, does it get better? I submit that it does not.
Alrighty.
All right. Go Pats. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening. And that's all we got.
Yep.
See ya.
Adios.